I'd like to welcome everybody. The weather's a little chilly today, but thank you for coming to worship the Lord. And the lesson I'm going to present today is God's plan of forgiveness. And you know, last Sunday evening, I gave a sermon on faith. And I mentioned the fact that I know that everyone's heard a lot of sermons on faith, but it's something that we need to refresh our minds with to rehear these things, so that we know, and we know how important faith is as far as our Christian walk is the case, how important it is to us. The topic today, God's plan of forgiveness, it's the same thing. I know you've heard several sermons on forgiveness, but it's so important that we hear these things and follow these things about forgiveness. And even our salvation depends upon that. And I looked back into my preacher file and the sermons I had given. I had given one in 2018. And that particular sermon on forgiveness was basically emphasizing God, our forgiving Father, and Jesus, our forgiving Savior. But this morning, I would like to talk about why we need to forgive each other and what happens if we don't. And Shannon read the first scripture reading I'm going to have, and that's Matthew 6, 14, and 15. And it says again, for you, I'm using the ES version, by the way, in all my scriptures here, ESV. And it says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Of course, we can substitute the word sins for trespasses. And going back one step before I go any further here, you know, I did Google to see how many times the word forgiveness was used in the Bible. And it came up with 95 times. And to me, that's quite a bit of times, but that also told me something, that forgiveness is very important to God. So if we go back now to Matthew 6, 14 and 15, what Jesus is telling us is pretty straightforward. God will forgive us our sins when we repent, but only if we forgive others their trespasses, their sins. Luke 17, verses 1 through 4, goes on and says, and this is Jesus talking, and he said to his disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to those Temptations of sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in one day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Now notice here, Jesus saying, you must forgive him if he repents. He doesn't say you can forgive him a few times, but you must forgive him whenever he repents. And we know when in our lives, temptations are going to come. And as this scripture says, we need to be on guard. We need to be ready for them when they come. And then it goes on to say, if a brother sins, rebuke him. Tell him he's wrong. Tell him that he needs to repent and apologize to God. And he also says, if he repents to you, if he sins against you seven times and repents seven times, you need to forgive him every single time. I know sometimes it's very hard to forgive, depending upon the sin and the circumstance. But we, as Christians, need to forgive when anyone asks us for forgiveness. We can't make excuses. We can't say, no. Well, we can say, no, I can't forgive you for that. Well, if you do that, you're going against what the Word tells us. We need to find it in our heart to forgive when somebody asks us to forgive them. You know, another way of looking at forgiveness is like thinking about a debt that we have incurred, that we owe. Like, maybe we mortgaged our house. Or maybe we've got an expensive car that's hard to pay for. We build up that debt. Well, Matthew 6, verse 12 tells us, forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Of course, here this is coming from the Lord's Prayer, known as the Model Prayer. And you can substitute sin for debts. Forgive us our debt, our sins, as we have also forgiven our those that sin against us. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Now, this is a long reading, and I'm going to read it all. And we're going to go over it all because it's important that we remember this and the importance of forgiveness. But I want to read the first couple of verses first and stop and discuss that. And here Peter, talking to Jesus, says, "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times?' And Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you seven times. I say 77 times.'" So Peter comes up to Jesus. He wants to know how many times he needs to forgive someone who sins against him. And Jesus is pretty clear. He uses the number 77. Now, I'm sure that's not a number that is the only number, the only amount of times we can ask for forgiveness. But what he's saying is we need to forgive them every time they ask for forgiveness. And then in these following verses, Jesus tells us the parable of the unforgiving servant. And he says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." So here we have the king who is settling accounts with his servants. I guess he must have loaned them money or something of value that needed to be repaid. And then one was brought to him that owed 10,000 talents. Now I looked that up, and when you look it up, it varies in how much they say that was. But in many of the cases, it said, in today's money, billions of dollars. But anyhow, we know it was a lot. It was a lot of money for him to repay. And the king knew he wasn't going to be able to repay it. So he said, "I'm going to sell you, sell your wife, sell your children, and all that you had to pay the debt." And of course, the servant, feeling very bad about this, got down on his knees and pleaded with the king, "Please have patience with me. I will pay all the debt." And the king, having pity on him, what did he say? He said, "I forgive your debt. Every bit of it. I forgive your debt." A lot of money. And I can imagine what that person felt like by having all of that stress that was taken away from him because the king forgave him the debt. But then the story goes on to say, here this servant goes out walking down the street and sees a guy that owes a fellow servant that owes him 100 denarii. And I'm sure most of you know that a denarius was worth one day's wages. So compared to what he owed the king, this was a small amount of money. And notice that he, when he saw him, he grabbed him, began to choke him, and said, "Pay what you owe." And the second servant gets down on his knees and said, "Please have patience for me. I will pay the debt." Does that line sound familiar? The same line that the first servant used with the king. So do you think that the second servant was merciful? I mean, the servant was merciful to the second servant? No. He had him thrown in jail until he could pay the debt. So all the other servants heard this going on and went to the king and told him what had happened. And the king calls this guy in again, the first servant, and says, "You wicked servant. I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. I had mercy on you. So you couldn't show mercy to this man that owed you little?" And so he threw that first servant in jail till his debt was paid for, which probably wouldn't have been paid for in that guy's lifetime. So what does this have to do with the forgiveness of sins? Well, if we look at this story, let's change God. Let's put God in the king's place. And sin, and we can put ourselves in the other person's place. Just think of how many sins you've committed in your lifetime. And I'm sure nobody could come up with a number. But just think how many sins you have asked God to forgive you. And then think about how many times has someone sinned against you. I would imagine you'd find that the number of sins that God has forgiven is a humongous amount compared to the few times that somebody might have sinned against you. But God forgave us. and still does, of all our sins if we repent. But we have to forgive those that sin against us. So we can't be like the second servant and wouldn't forgive the debt that was owed. And God expects us to be like that we will forgive people. He expects it. Now, another point I want to make here is talk about reconciliation. If you look up the definition of reconciliation, that means just to heal a relationship, fix a relationship. And we all have, if somebody sins against us, we can have problems with that. But we have to remember what God does with sin. If we sin, what happens? We are separated from God, because God can't stand to be around sin. But He forgives us of our sins to heal that, to reconcile our relationship with Him, so that we are back. And also, another important thing to remember too, God, when He forgives us of our sins, He forgets those sins, remembers them no more. We need to be the same way. Again, hard thing to do sometimes, but we need to forgive and forget. So God wants us to reconcile one another when sin is involved, and not just push it aside to forget about it, but to reconcile and forgive others and restore a relationship. And in 2 Corinthians 5:18-19, these two verses talk about reconciliation. And it says, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against Him, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." So, you remember what Christ did for us, right? When He was hanging on the cross, He forgave all mankind their sins. He reconciled ourselves and all others to Him and to God. And then 1 John 1, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The day we were baptized, we repented of our sins, right? And we were laid in that water and brought up. We had a clean slate. As it says here, we were cleansed from all unrighteousness at that point in time. We were reconciled with God, reconciled with Jesus. But we always have to remember that forgiveness has a condition with God. He will forgive you your sins only if you forgive others their sins. So in conclusion, one thing that is so important concerning forgiveness is, do you have forgiveness in your heart? Are you willing to follow through and forgive those that sin against you? Are you willing to reconcile with one another? Because that's what God wants us to do. Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." In my last scripture reading today, Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13 says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." So remember, if heaven is to be our home for eternity, when we sin, we need to ask God for forgiveness. He will forgive us all our sins only if we forgive those that sin against us. At this time, we offer the invitation to those that haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior and want to put Him on in baptism. Might be a little chilly back there, but it still counts as a baptism. Or for those that are Christians and need to come forward for prayers, if you need to come forward for any reason, please do so as we stand and sing the song of invitation.